Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time, this is the place to engage in dialogue, a conversation about things that matter ultimately to you in the spiritual realm, in the realm of religion, faith, belief, ethics, practice, tradition, and all the rest. Give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710, and we'll engage in your questions or commentary about the life that you live, the ultimate values you live by. Give us a call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Good morning to one and all, and I will tell you, Michael, it is beautiful here. It was beautiful down in Rogerville, that's Ridgedale maybe, wherever Big Cedar Lodge is, which is what I kind of poked down, drove down Friday night for a rehearsal and then a wedding for some folks that this was an interfaith endeavor, and the daughter was somebody that you and I knew was coming. On the very day that this show was created, or at least at very first on the New Year's Eve of
Be light,
1992, and that New Year's Eve moment, we went and you blessed, you said a prayer at the lunch. I had done the service, and it was a this union.
What goes around comes around. Yeah. You get a little trip out of it.
Yeah. So that was a while back, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. You know, you remind me of an occasion when, I don't know, I've been a rabbi for maybe 10 years at the most, and I co-officiated at a wedding of a kid I bar mitzvahed.
Yeah.
The kid was one of the officiants.
Oh, my goodness. That's interesting. That's wonderful.
That was a feel-old moment.
Yeah.
But well, right now my voice sounds feel-old.
Oh, you got a little bit of a frog, huh?
Well, if anybody really were to care, I also had a wedding last night, and it was a wonderful wedding of a family from Kansas City whose daughter lives here, and she's married a young, wonderful man from Chicago. But the band was so loud, and that's why... in case anybody's wondering, I'm sounding like this because, you know, I did try to talk to people occasionally. Wow. Woohoo!
And this is last night or the...
Last night.
Last night, my goodness, yep.
Michael,
yeah.
I was at a wedding recently, and did you recognize any of the music?
You know what? At some weddings of some folks that would be much younger than myself or Priscilla... We've been there, and they were playing baby boomer music. They were playing
There was a lot of it, just much louder than I ever recall any music. but John is right. There was a lot of stuff. What?
Hard to recognize.
Yeah. But aside from weddings, this is also tonight begins the concluding festival of this month in Jewish life, which is filled with holy day celebrations, commemorations, Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah. And for those who are wondering, Shmini Atzeret is usually translated, actually it's hardly ever translated, but what it means is the eighth day of gathering, which is the concluding day of the festival of Sukkot, and the Thanksgiving harvest festival. And then it's followed immediately by Simchat Torah, rejoicing in Torah, where we mark the end of the cycle of the reading the first five books of the Hebrew Bible on an annual basis, and begin immediately again to start the cycle. just kind of nice that for the various things people march with, for or about, this is a marching about a book.
Mm. About a book, no less. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other topics that you want to kind of throw in the fire?
Sure. Might as well get us all in trouble for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, in addition to your posting about heading to the station,
yeah,
another person sent me this. In 1996, after a gun massacre left 35 dead, Australia banned semi-automatic and automatic rifles.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Their gun homicide rate fell by 59%, and their gun suicide rate fell by 65%, without a parallel increase in non-firearm homicides and suicides. Share if you would, if we should follow Australia's lead. And, you know, no doubt I'm referring to the Roseburg massacre and the accumulation of guns, which seems to have been what the shooter had managed to do. What, if anything, can we do against the terrible challenge that we're getting used to this? I remember a line in one of those rare movies I saw, I have seen, Grand Canyon.
And the
mother is jogging down an alley and she finds a baby, and when she brings the baby home, she says, the problem isn't that we're abandoning babies, the problem is we're getting used to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a serious matter for all of us. And I wonder if people have some thoughts about what we can and can't do. On another side, scientists find definite signs of liquid water present-day Mars. It's a fascinating thing in terms of the complexity and magnificence and awesomeness and, what shall we say, when we consider the heavens,
Psalm 8,
but I have no idea if this is accurate or not, but in a magazine I subscribe to, The Week, which gleans stuff from all over the place, they have one column is called Good Week 4 and Bad Week 4. And under the Bad Week 4, scientific outreach, I have no idea if this is true or not. I'm assuming it is. After conservative pundit Rush Limbaugh declared that NASA's recent discovery of flowing water on Mars was likely part of an ongoing plot to advance a leftist agenda that has something to do with global warming.
Unbelievable.
I mean, again, it's so incredibly out there that I can't imagine you make that up.
Yeah, it's truth stranger than fiction,
yeah,
for sure.
One more item, and I would urge anybody who has access or can get access to the Wall Street Journal Saturday, Sunday, October 3-4 edition. In the review section, which is a very fascinating view of culture, etc., the lead article is by one of John's favorites, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, and the title, the headline they gave to it is Swords into Plowshares, Islamic State's Creed Embodies Evil in the Name of a Sacred Cause. To defeat it, we must recover the values that can bring Jews, Christians, and Muslims together. Let me just read the first paragraph. The West was caught unprepared by the rise of Islamic State, as it was a decade and a half ago by the attacks of Al-Qaeda, and as the Soviet Union was by the determination of the Mujahideen of Afghanistan in the 80s. These are among the worst failures of political intelligence in modern times, and the consequences have been disastrous. The unpreparedness was not accidental. It happened because of a blind spot in the secular mind. The inability to see the elemental, world-shaking power of religion when hijacked by politics. So it goes on, and it's a very fine article about humanity's need for meaning and how can we find meaning without destroying each other.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I would urge folks to try to get a hold of it. At any rate, that's my stuff.
That's it, huh? We're going to take a break. We're going to have a lot more stuff. And after we pay some bills, we're going to be right back here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM. Then that's 576-7710, 576-7710.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing severe service and attention to detail for over 20 years. RainerKC.com.
Did you wake up this morning dreading the challenge of finding something to wear? Did you dig through your closet where you have four sizes of clothing yet nothing fits you? You feel uncomfortable with your appearance. You are limited by things you like to do. Blue Valley Surgical Associates' comprehensive approach to weight loss might be the answer, with one of their weight loss surgical options that can help you achieve success. Call Blue Valley Surgical Associates at 913-220-2866.
Get more out of life.
Since 1988,
The team at Cruise Holidays of Kansas City has been matching their amazing clients with the perfect vacation. Don't you think it's your turn? Cruise Holidays of Kansas City will help you choose the vacation package, ocean cruise, river cruise, or all-inclusive resort that's just right for you. They'll be there to help you through the entire planning and booking process. Their expert travel counselors have over 70 years of travel experience and can offer the best guidance to you because they've been there. Don't trust your dream vacation to a computer. Computers don't have feelings, and they can't tell you the best beach to watch the sunset or the best time of year for whale watching in Alaska. Let Cruise Holidays of Kansas City help make your vacation dreams a reality. Call 816-505-1500 or online at chkc.travel. You deserve a dream vacation.
Dave Ramsey here. Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. I personally have experienced loss due to this incurable disease. That's why I'm proud to tell you about the Walk to End Alzheimer's happening on October 4th at Corporate Woods. You can contribute or participate in this event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research. The end of Alzheimer's starts with you. Go to alz.org/Kansas City and make a contribution today.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
We all need the Common Core State Standards to prepare students for college and the real world.
Why?
Well, the standards make sure you're really exercising your brain when learning things like fractions or reading and writing about books by famous authors.
I'm reading James and the Giant Peach.
And while you read that, a student in another school may be reading Charlotte's Web. But you'll both be learning to read carefully, looking for clues, like a detective.
I'm a good detective.
I bet you'll be good at meeting these standards, too. Learn more at commoncoreworks.org.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine. Our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Where Kansas City talks. Talk Radio 710, now at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And Michael, do you want to say anything just a little bit more about the situation in Roseburg?
I don't know what to say, Bob, other than it would be wonderful if we could all stand together on how to make some sensible responses. But the politics are close to impossible and very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, and I'll have to find out the, and I'm sure that it would be denied and said to be false and full of false science, false statistics, etc., that of the massacres that have occurred over the last, the last dozen of them, that half of them would have been prevented had the NRA and other gun enthusiasts not been so adamant against background checks. And despite what they say that they are for them, they're not. Not for ones that are reasonable, and lengthy and a waiting period, et cetera, that half of these shootings that have been so horrific in killing dozens and dozens of people, they could have been prevented with some good screening schedules or protocols. So just want to put that into the mix this morning. Anyway, John, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, we have two emailers at our Cobra Guard email. One emailed us and said, gentlemen, the question is, why does the Second Amendment allow us, we the people, to have firearms and guns? And then Chuck from West Virginia says, your internet, iHeartRadio is down. I can't hear. Send help.
It's very kind of him to want to hear, but I wonder, is there anything we can do about that?
I think that's out of our control. That's out of our control. But we'll let Rick is hearing this, and he might be able to know something, but probably is not on our end. So,
well, I'm passing that along. And then today opens the, Pope Francis opened the, it's officially called the Vocation and Mission of the Family in the Church in the Modern World. A synod of bishops, a gathering of bishops throughout the world, will meet to discuss the vocation and mission of the family for the next 3 weeks. So that is the largest Catholic item globally. And in his homily, the Pope said that the number of people who feel lonely keeps growing, as does the number of those who are caught up in selfishness, gloominess, destructive violence, and slavery to pleasure and money. And it seems to me that when you're in these communities, when you're in these schools, when you're just anywhere, what the Holy Father is encouraging is a culture of encounter and dialogue. And that, you know, what would have happened if people could have recognized those who were in these silos of isolation and loneliness? And if they could have gone up to him and said hello, made a conversation with him, included them in their greetings, that we need to be aware of the cry of people when we meet them, and we need to have this encounter of dialogue and kind of a reading of the heart. We need the grace to read hearts, so that we can see that those who are suffering like this and who are caught up in this rejection and loneliness are assimilated into a communion of persons, no matter what community that they are in. And he quotes something that touched me very, very much, because he was quoting from a remark that John Paul II made in 1978. He says that error and evil must always be condemned and opposed, but the man who falls or who errs must be understood and loved. And I think that's particularly what Pope Francis is really working on and trying to teach us, and that is that we have to understand in one another, even when we disagree on what is truth, and that the person is primary over anything else, and that we can't dismiss people just because we don't agree with them. That that everybody has a place at the table, and I think that's, to me, that was what was so beautiful about his trip to the United States, is that he was open to this encounter and dialogue with everyone, knowing that, as the leader of the Catholic Church, over a billion people, that he is our teachings are going to not be accepted by everyone. They're going to be rejected by many. A lot of people aren't going to agree, but we still have an encounter and a dialogue. Even within our own church, we have groups that don't agree. We have groups that don't agree on the sanctity of life. We have groups that don't agree on taking care of the environment. But he still encounters and has a dialogue with them. And for me, that's, I guess, the overarching virtue that I think he's promoting, and one of smiling and including people, saying hi to them, getting to know them, learning how to have this little elevator dialogue, chit-chat with people to bring them out of themselves. You know, it's amazing if you have a plant that is starving and lonely and isolated, all you got to do is give it a little sunshine and a little water, and it starts coming back to life very quickly. And many people are like that. They are drying out. They lack sunshine and water, and it's incumbent upon us all to have this communion with people, even if they look different, even if you go to a wedding and don't recognize any of the music, you got to figure a way to become one with one another. And another item is that St. Therese Lisieux's relics are being exposed at St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome. And so are her parents. Her parents are beatified. They're going to be canonized, I think, October 18th.
Her parents will be canonized?
Yeah, her parents will be canonized.
Wow. And how unusual is that?
It's very unusual. Very unusual. And the cause for the canonization, the postulator of the cause, says that they live their life, their conjugal love, as an instrument of holiness, a way to holiness consummated by the two persons together. He noted that this aspect today is the most important aspect to value in the family. This is an enormous need for, there is an enormous need for a simple spirituality lived out in daily life. And what was so interesting about this couple was that when they first got married, they wanted to live a married life like Mary and Joseph, and that is not participate in any conjugal relations according to our tradition. And their spiritual director told them no, that they were meant to have children. And I think they had nine, four boys that died in infancy, and five daughters. And I think they all, except for one, went to the convent. And her sister is also up. St. Teresa, the Little Flower's sister, is also up for canonization. And she is one of the most famous saints in the church. She wanted to enter the convent when she was nine. Of course, they refused her, and then she made a pilgrimage with her father to the Pope and asked the Pope if she could enter when she was 14. And the Pope said, well, you know, work with your bishop. Well, the bishop allowed her to enter when she was 15, and she died when she was 24. But she wrote this book called The History of a Soul, which was retitled Autobiography of a Soul, and it's sold in the millions. And it's her story about how she was a little flower in God's garden. And there we have it.
We got to take a hard break right now. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to be right back after these messages at 576-7710. Give us a call.
CBS News Update. The people of Roseburg, Oregon are trying to come to terms with the trauma and tragedy of the mass shooting this week that killed nine and wounded nine others. CBS's Steve Futterman.
Many churches plan special services today dealing with the events of this past Thursday. These will include special prayers and sermons. At virtually every church, the congregation will be asked to pray for the victims and their families. And at some churches, prayers may even be offered for the gunman and his family.
Authorities now say the gunman, Christopher Harper Mercer, took his own life during a shootout with police. The youngest victim of the shooting spree, 16-year-old Cheyenne Fitzgerald, attending Umpqua College to be a nurse. She was shot in the back, lost a kidney, but is expected to survive. Her mother, Bonnie, recalls,
I was calling her. She wasn't calling me back. I knew something was wrong.
Bonnie Shan says she dropped everything and went to the hospital and saw her daughter before she went into surgery. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nunn.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Temperatures this afternoon will climb into the mid-60s with mostly sunny skies, and northeast winds will be a bit breezy between 5 and 15 miles per hour. As the sun sets this evening, those gusty winds will ease a bit. We'll stay mostly clear as we head into your evening and overnight hours. It's going to be a chilly night with temperatures falling into the mid-40s by your Sunday morning. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay.
We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, when disaster erupts, when disease rages, when communities collapse under crisis, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. We go where conditions are the worst because that's where we're needed most. In nearly 70 countries, we're saving lives threatened by violence, disease, malnutrition, and catastrophic events. Donors are vital to our mission. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
Will this look bad for Obama that his Secretary of State violated the law and put the nation at risk and put people's lives at risk?
4 till 6 p.m.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
I want to mention something that is on CBS, and I don't think we have any conflict in suggesting this, that it's on their CBS Religion and Culture show, but I could not find it in the greater Kansas City area. It's airing today, Veterans Journey Home, Faith and Hope and War, and this is a special series in which the Soul Repair Center that was established at Bright Divinity School down in Fort Worth is featured. Rita Brock, Michael Killam, and myself have been interviewed for this. It's a kind of a half-hour documentary, The Veterans Journey Home, Faith, Hope, and War. And I cannot find it on a CBS schedule. I couldn't find it yesterday.
I've never heard of the program.
Yes. It's on Facebook, CBS Religion and Culture. It's a thing that airs about four times a year. And I'll send it out via Facebook and via email to friends. Once I find the permanent location where you can just go download it as a podcast kind of deal. But it's supposedly being aired today, and this show looks at the issues veterans face as they transition to civilian life. Included among the topics covered are moral injury and the work of the Soul Repair Center. I happen to, for full disclosure, be on the board of that entity. So look for it. CBS Religion and Culture Show, Veterans Journey Home, Faith, Hope, and War. So, John, did you have other topics that you wanted to suggest?
Well, right before the synod, this was yesterday, a group of same-sex attracted Catholics, they belong to the group called Courage, are calling for the church to give them more support in living the virtue of chastity. The group says it's a grace from God, it's a way to become closer to Him, and we need to hear more about chastity in the church. There is a Catholic therapist from the Franciscan University of Steubenville. His name is David Prosen. He said he himself lived a homosexual lifestyle before embracing the church's teaching on chastity. And he says that he was told that it's okay to have an intimate relationship with a man as long as you love him. But he says this is so harming. And so what I hope is that the Synod Fathers will really look at the truth that all of us, men and women, have gifts and that God has given us these and we're created in His image and likeness, and I'm not defined by who I'm attracted to. He says that I am not gay, I am David. And then he says how he explains how in high school that he had admired traits in other people that he felt he himself lacked. And this is telling, I think. I was looking at my peers and going, gosh, if only I looked like him, if I was athletic like him or popular, then maybe I would fit in. And then he said there was this shame. He said, in puberty, that piece became exaggerated, and that's when I believed something that really wasn't true. I wasn't really affirmed in my gender, and that's what I was looking for all along. And then he says that since he has learned to establish fulfilling and chaste relationships with other men, largely through the help of Courage, this apostolate in the church, that there he now experiences a profound joy and peace in living a chaste life. And this is hit home to me because in our community, we promote these chaste relationships. We call them graced friendships. And so we have a community of men and women, nuns. Yesterday, I was driving three nuns around the city in Lawrence going to a gravesite burial. And I thought, this looks really different, you know, a married guy with his wife driving three nuns around looking for something. But these were my sisters in graced friendship. And I've never had such deep, meaningful relationships with consecrated religious priests and sisters in my life than I have in our community because of this particular charism of graced friendship and chastity. And so I really hit me when he was talking about that. And then the reason why we are not on, Chuck cannot hear us on iHeartRadio, is that we're no longer on iHeartRadio, I'm told. You have to go to RDIO in order to hear us. And I hope that information is correct.
You just said stuff. I have no idea what either of those things were. Doesn't the station have its own streaming thing?
Well, I think in the past you had to stream through an app called iHeartRadio. Evidently now it's RDIO. We have to keep up with this technology, Michael.
In the meantime, a curiosity that I'm sure some listeners may either already be exhausted about, but the whole contretemps that sounds like it was the Pope being the Pope as opposed to the way it was initially portrayed when he met Kim Davis was part of a group that with whom he met at the, is it Nunciatory? Is that what's how you pronounce the word?
Yeah, that would be at the Apostolic Nuncio's residence or the what would be considered the ambassador's residence. Mm.
But it started out going in one specific direction, and then it became clarity that this is Pope Francis being Pope Francis.
Yeah, and it sounded like that the Kim Davis entourage or whoever was doing it kind of set it up so that it would appear to be that he had reached out to her specifically, and that's not what happened. I mean, this Pope will meet with anybody. And, I mean, for goodness sake, he met with a Congress. So, and, you know, and that's, I have some friends in Congress, and I apologize for that. But they're not the most popular bunch on the block. He met and will meet with anybody. So, any rate, other topics, John?
No, that's it. I'll try and figure out the mystery of how you can listen to us on the internet.
Okay. And it's Rido, is that it? Or
RDIO, I'm told, but I am investigating.
Ah. This next little piece that I'm going to suggest is, it's an old item from the New York Times, Googling for God. People are going to church, going to shul, going to the mosque less, but they're Googling for God more on the internet. And there's not a cause and effect relationship, but this is happening. We wonder why God made us who we are, but also who made God. And so there's a lot of Googling on there. If you have Googled a religious entity or subject matter, give us a call and tell us what you were searching for. Yesterday,
CBS, also, Religion and Culture.
CBS Religion and Culture. By the way, yesterday, Chuck Stanford and I were privileged to respond to a question in the paper. It only came out as, what does your faith say about mindfulness? And the question we were given was, what does your faith say about living in the moment? And then parenthesis, mindfulness. And of course, Buddhism would have a lot more to say about the practice of mindfulness than even Christianity would. But there's something to be said. And we both responded to this. When I was doing a little research for the article, I discovered that the word today is kind of a preferred word in the Bible, both in the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. John, Michael, did you know that it's used 3 times more than tomorrow and 10 times more than yesterday? A very, very, you know, obvious emphasis upon today. And these are usually in speeches or in declarations about God's presence. So there's that. And then also, we've had more than one conversation about Black Lives Matter, about all lives mattering, about police lives mattering. Where are we in that discussion about race relations in this country, and what can religious faith communities do about it? We've come up to a little break right now. We're going to be back here at Religion on the Line at 576-7710. You give us a call.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
Little 5-year-old Sophia Cruz that was able to break through the line and run up to the Pope. Her letter said this: all immigrants, just like my dad, help feed this country. They deserve to live with dignity. They deserve to live with respect. They deserve an immigration reform. How about that they deserve to come in legally? How about we deserve our laws to be obeyed? How about we deserve a real border? And just because you are here now doesn't mean that you deserve rights from our country. No, you don't.
Weekday afternoons, 4 till 6.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. The first weekend in Kansas City that really feels like fall, if you're out barbecuing or just hanging around, make sure to take our podcast with you. Go to kcmotalkradio.com and look for Carson in the Morning.
Use code CHIEFSRADIO at ticketsforless.com to save on every ticket order. Tickets for Less has the best selection of Chiefs lower level, club level, and parking with no hidden fees. Call 913-685-3322 or enter code CHIEFSRADIO at ticketsforless.com to save.
Aging is a fact of life, but showing your age is optional. Wrinkles, sun damage, and poor skin tone are just a few of the most common skin conditions associated with aging. As one of the original medical spas in the Kansas City area, Med Cosmetic provides quality, results-oriented cosmetic services to treat virtually any any skin condition. Owned and operated by trusted physician James Mirabile and a division of Mirabile MD, Med Cosmetic Team upholds a long-standing tradition of excellent service. Registered nurse and licensed estheticians create treatment plans for both men and women, customized to your lifestyle, desired outcome, and budget. Cosmetic injectable services such as Botox and dermal filler are used to reduce wrinkles and restore lost facial volume. The first-class medical spa also provides laser and other non-surgical treatments for hair removal, sun damage, acne, leg and facial veins, body sculpting, unwanted tattoos, sagging skin, and more. Learn more about anti-aging services at AskTheDoctorKC.com.
Love how you feel. Love what you see.
Oh, hi. Right now, I'm getting a remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. Now, if you could let me down. See, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. And before we left, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, then made sure it was cold. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
We're going to make sure that the Veterans Affairs gives them everything that they're entitled to.
Get all the health care they need.
Making a person's house adaptable.
And we also focus on getting them a job.
We help our veterans for free.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holtis, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to CumulusRadio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to CumulusRadio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
I'm terrible with money. Apparently, a PhD in physics won't help me predict the trajectory of my own retirement. So I work with TIAA Cref. You get quality, personalized advice no matter what your balance is. For me, they make investing as easy as Newtonian physics.
Advice for everyone. One more way TIAA Cref is created to serve and built to perform. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Cref Individual Institutional Services, LLC. This testimonial is an act of betrayal. Advice is subject to institutional plan rules. Investing involves risk. Individual results will vary.
If you're an individual investor looking for tax-free income, consider municipal bonds. Henyon & Walsh is a leading independent expert in municipal bonds. For over 20 years, they've been helping individual investors like you build bond portfolios. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, call Henyon & Walsh today for your free bond guide. Call 1-800-908-0673. That's 1-800-908-0673. 800-908-0673. May be subject to local, state, or alternative minimum tax. Henyon & Walsh, Inc., member of FINRA, SIPC.
We talk about your life and your money on the Dave Ramsey Show. Now at a new time, weekdays from noon to 2 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we've got a caller that we'll go to right now. Mike, you've got Religion on the Line.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to bring up something. I enjoyed watching the Pope's visit in different situations. And when he paid tribute to the 9/11 attack at Ground Zero, there's an inconsistency that I see in our society that if God's not happy when people fly planes into tall buildings and kill 3,000 in a day, how much more unhappy can he be when every working day is a 9/11 event for his creation. And I'm speaking of our different attitude about abortion.
Could you also be speaking about how we treat the environment?
I'm thinking that God created all of this, and we're made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And when we see lives as disposable, then if we're doing that, I can't think of anything that would be more hurtful with our intentions, and we do it intentionally, and we do it to our own.
And again, I guess my question is, you want to keep it focused on human beings, but you said Holocaust every day to the world. Could that relate as well to the environment, to the creaturely world, to the world in which we live, to our home?
Well, when we say creaturely world, God created it all.
Right.
And he created it.
I believe that.
With a purpose, and he created us with a purpose, and we're made in his image, and when we somehow shift that image to what we're doing, what we're doing here is, I think it's hard to justify and make any kind of equation that God would find agreeable.
Again, and, I guess
our environment is not within our control.
You're making a moral argument, Mike.
Some point.
And the question is the moral argument always the legal argument? And obviously,
is what?
For you, that is
the case. I'm sorry.
Listen, Mike. Go ahead, Michael.
You're making a moral argument, and for you, the moral argument is also must be the legal argument. As you already well know, two of us don't subscribe to that notion, and one of us strongly does. So you've made your point. What else you want to do?
Well, I just wanted us to contemplate that and think, when will we stop doing what we're doing as a nation?
Mike, if you're interested, the Pope wrote his environmental encyclical, and in paragraph 120, it's numbered 120, he says, if everything is interrelated, concern for the protection of nature is also incompatible with the justification of abortion. So he links the two in his encyclical, and I think you would find consolation in reading that, especially paragraph 120.
Okay. I will make an effort to try to do that. I was at jail last night till past midnight, and I am just kind of recovering from that. But thank you for being there, and thank you for letting me make the statement.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And I have nothing to say except what we've said before and what I've said always, that and this is a hackneyed phrase. This is where this whole subject matter begins to be a little bit hackneyed. I know that it is very important to a lot of people. I know it's important to you, John, that people talk about this all the time. But I want... and I'm not alone in this, and this is not my phrasing, but I want abortions to be safe and legal and rare, and would like them to be available to rape victims, and don't believe that rape victims or anybody who's been sexually assaulted should be shamed or feel that they're doing anything whatsoever morally inferior if they have a DNC at a hospital. And I believe that hospitals should provide those, and if they conflict with the moral values by which that hospital abides, and that would be in many cases Catholic hospitals, then those rape victims won't be taken to those hospitals. That's fine with me, but I do want it available. And regardless of how small a percentage those impregnations happen to be. We don't have much to talk about when we just get to that. It's like we're playing a one-string guitar, and it doesn't make for any kind of conversation, does it? So what else is on our minds? 576-7710. Michael?
Yeah, I've got one. During the last break, I was going through the Sunday papers, and one of those is the Sunday New York Times in the magazine section. They've reformulated the ethicist section back to questions and a response from one writer as opposed to what's been more recent, some bloggy-like commentaries from several different perspectives. And this is the question. My husband's sister died recently after a short, unhappy life. In her will, she asked that her ashes be scattered in the ocean near a place she lived during one of her brief, happy times of adult life. Instead, my mother-in-law interred the ashes in a family plot near her home, saying that she needed a focal point for her grief. I realize that life is for the living. I'm going to skip a little bit of this, but I nevertheless feel viscerally appalled by this cavalier contravention of her last wishes. Am I right to be upset? Do we have ethical obligations to the dead? Mm. And some folks may want to weigh in on what is the right or wrong of this, and what ethical obligations do we have to those who have died? I'm thinking, as in the author of the response talked about, you know, what if Max Brod had burned Franz Kafka's papers as Franz Kafka purportedly told him to do?
Mm. And I'm so glad he didn't. And and so is history, and so is posterity. I want to put one more item on our little campfire this morning, and that is the CBS Culture and Religion Culture Show about veterans points to something that's going to happen later on in Kansas City, which is a Pathways to Hope conference, October 28th through the 31st. And all veterans are allowed to – are comped for that occasion, but caregivers and religious folks would love it. We'll talk about that after the top of the hour. We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We're going to be right back here at 576-7710, Religion on the Line.